Happy Easter, if you can believe that we're still in Easter season and not in like October or November. This is a very marvelous gospel. And so I want to share some of the things that I found in it this week. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be proclaimed to the nations and so on, and you are witnesses of these things. In Luke's gospel, more than the others, and maybe almost solely in Luke's gospel, there's a phrase that keeps coming up. So this is chapter 24. I'm guessing it's around chapter 17 or 18. And it's these things, these things, these things, or these, or all these things. It shows up in the Greek a lot. And what does it refer to? Well, we're going to see. But it's, what does it mean for us to be sent forth as witnesses of these things? That's what Jesus is talking about here. Secondly, it has to do with repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, here's what, I confess this, I don't know what to say about that first reading. It reads to me like Peter's preaching to the people and going, "You idiots, you did this." You know, like a freshman football coach would be, "You dummy, you can't do anything right." It doesn't work, does it? Especially for adults. So I'm going to confess, I don't know what to do with that approach. And there's probably something more subtle that's going on that I'm getting right now. Because being a witness of these things that we see in the scripture today is different from that. And it's tied very much into the story that we didn't hear this year on a Sunday. It's the story about the two guys going to Emmaus, the two disciples. Maybe one's a male and one's a female. We don't know. But they're walking to Emmaus. Jesus walks up. They don't recognize him. And he says, "What are you talking about? What are you throwing back and forth between each other?" He says, "Are you the only one who does not know about these things that happened in Jerusalem?" And Jesus said, "What things?" See, there's that little refrain that's coming up. He said, the things about Jesus, about how he was supposed to be this great Savior, and we were hoping that he was to be the one to redeem Israel. And the parentheses that isn't in there is, "and he wasn't." And the irony is, then Jesus says, "Oh, so slow to believe all the stuff that was written, why the Messiah had to suffer, why the Christ had to suffer so to enter into his glory. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he opened their minds to these things." And that's where they go along. They sit down at a table with him. He breaks the bread. Their eyes are open. They go, "Oy vey, we got to go back to Jerusalem." And that's where we pick up here. I think, at least for me right now, what I find in the gospel passage, Jesus' interaction with the disciples invites us to be with the disciples in this interaction. While they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and they were terrified and thought they were seeing actually a spirit. The Greek for ghost is phantasmos. This is pneuma, different thing. They were startled. In Luke's gospel, it's used in this instance. Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my way, my name, and say, I am he, the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. Same verb in Greek. Do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. And the deal is, what the verb signifies is they were startled, they were dismayed, they trembled, whatever. That this is the end. Luke is saying that their being terrified has to do with the end of their rebellious nature, their self-will. As in Ezekiel, the same verb is used. The prophet is told by God, whether they hear or are dismayed or are terrified, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or are dismayed or terrified, for they are a rebellious house. So their being startled is partly signified as this realization. It's like, uh-oh. The end of my pretense at being the one who runs everything is over. The end of my rebellion is over. In that sense, Jesus appearing to them is like the last day. So Jesus' resurrection, in Luke's gospel, they're not going, yay, he's alive, you know, but they're saying, oh boy, we didn't expect this, that his resurrection and new life brings about the end of their pretense, let's say. That's why resurrection is not your kind and gentle thing. It says they were startled and terrified. The other verb, emphobos, talks about when there's a story in Acts of the Apostles, which Luke also wrote, where there's little one, yeah. Startled and terrified. Really? You know, it's okay, buddy. There's a guy named Cornelius who's going to go to Peter to be brought into the church. And an angel appears to him. He had an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius, and he stared at him in terror. So, what is it, Lord? This is changing everything. This isn't like a Chrysler commercial where they change maybe a couple settings on the dang computer and they say they're changing everything. This is the real deal. Why are you frightened? Another verb, tarasso. So all these different verbs are being used here by Luke. The day of the Lord is near. Therefore, all hands will be feeble. The human heart will melt. And they will be terrified. Because their heart is melting. What's the deal? The stony heart that in Ezekiel 36, God prophesied, will be replaced by a human heart, is happening. The stony heart is melting. Pains and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in labor because it's new birth. Jesus' resurrection and coming to them is about new birth, the end of the old ways and the beginning of the new. I'm going to move ahead in a couple. Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your heart? This is a great little word used in Luke. Early on, when Mary and Joseph take the baby Jesus to the temple and Simeon blesses them and says to Mary, the child is destined for the falling and the rising of many to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts, the doubts of many will be exposed. And that's what's happening here. Their inner thoughts, their doubts. What kind of doubts? In chapter 9, an argument arose among them about which one was the greatest. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, their doubts, took a child and said, whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. Their inner thoughts are about being the one with the last say, being the one who's in charge, whose opinion matters every moment of the day. Now, I just want to let you know again, that's me, and so get over yourselves, okay? Okay, that's enough of that. What does it mean to be witnesses of these things? What does it mean to be a witness of the resurrection for the repentance of sins? We look and see what happened just before this, where the two guys are getting the you-know-what out of Dodge. Because it all fell apart. And the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, Jesus meets with them and talks with them and says, what are you talking about? And what opens for them, they stood there sad-faced. He went and walked with them into their grief, that things had not gone their way, their expectations were dissolved. And then he taught them. He opened for them Moses and the prophets, why the Christ had to suffer, so to enter into his glory. And then, in breaking bread, their eyes were open and they recognized him. That's repentance. So that says something at least to the priest confessors that are hearing confessions. It's about going into the mystery of our disillusionment, which is gold, and we don't know it. For only there can we be taught that it's not about me. And maybe even let some of that in about these things that just happened. So that repentance is a way of encountering what is vulnerable and difficult in our lives. Teaching about why these things had to happen. And the recognition of Christ in the breaking of the bread. Oh my goodness. So that's why I wonder, and just leave it this, probably, maybe not, for Peter to get up and say, you idiots screwed up. You put the Lord of life to death. We have a style of preaching in the Catholic Church like that. It doesn't work for adults. It may work for kids. I don't know. It didn't work for me. It's about going into the mystery of our disillusionment, where we might just be able to be taught and say, oh my goodness, I didn't know that you welcome every bit of me, and even at my worst, I didn't know that, Lord. And that's the mystery of the resurrection that I perceive this year and experience. It is about being welcomed at our worst. So let us call to mind how we can pray for the grace to seek to become witnesses to these things for the repentance and forgiveness of sins for the world. Let's hold that in our heart.